So TJ, we've seen...
Let him out. Let him go.
We've seen the fucking teenager that kills the kid. We've seen the rich spoiled boys that kill their parents.
What's next?
What about the edgelord who kills for Satan?
Yeah.
This is Luke Wayne.
Hail Satan. Archangel Luke. All right. Who's this? Luke what now?
Woodham.
Okay.
So Luke Woodham of Pearl, Mississippi. Was only 16 years old.
If
on
you're,
October
I mean, like,
1st.
Let me just say this. His only defense he needs is he had to live in Mississippi.
That is true.
Anything is excused right. If you had to grow up in Mississippi.
If you had to grow up in Mississippi, I think you get at least one murder just out of like the to deal with the stress of having been raised in Mississippi.
Look, we know you guys had a tough life. Here's your one get out of jail
Let him
free
go.
Card.
Let him go.
No, I think you get one get out of jail free card, TJ.
Yeah.
I mean, you can use if you want to murder someone, use it for that. You can use it for that. But I mean, hey, if you want to be dumb and use it, like you get caught stealing a sandwich or some shit, that's on you.
Robert,
no,
bank.
Save your murder. Save it for your murder.
Save it for your murder. Or, yeah, or exactly. Save it for your bank robbery. Come on, be smart about this. Luke Woodham of Pearl, Mississippi, was only 16 years old on October 1st, 1987, when his killing rampage began.
Whoa, a rampage?
Well, you're about to find out.
Damn.
You never heard of him, TJ?
That's
shocking. He had been a well-behaved boy and student all the way up until that date. When something inside him snapped.
No.
And he took a dark road of rage and murder.
No. That narrative is bullshit. It was festering the whole time. It wasn't... He didn't snap.
I just love the I just kind of love throwing that element.
He was a normal, well-behaved person. Then he snapped. It's like, no. There was something building inside the whole fucking time. And you know
so,
it, and I know
Luke
it.
Didn't really grow up in a terrible household, by some accounts. It wasn't particularly violent. He definitely had problems at home. And Luke was ostracized at school for his appearance. I mean,
what was wrong? I mean, like, I don't know. He looks like a dork, but I mean, like, I went to school with a million fucking people who look like that.
And they were probably all picked on.
I guess. I don't know.
This dude looks dorky. He would have gotten picked on.
I was a fucking dork. I didn't get picked on. I got picked on a few times, but then I went crazy and no one wanted to pick on me.
So you dropped out freshman year.
I did.
There's a lot there's a lot more picking on to go on as you get later in the fucking
high school. I bypassed it because I'm smart.
You're smart.
Should have skipped the bullying.
This kid could have dropped out and not had to kill people. Why is Alex Trebek his captor is what I want to know.
I don't know, man. So his parents, Mary Ann and John Woodham, split up when Luke was 7 years old. Mary Ann, who had always been very particular about her child's clothing and activities, became even more overbearing. Luke's older brother, John Jr., began staying away from home as much as possible. So Mary Ann had assigned more chores to Luke. So his mother was just like, a control freak.
Gotcha.
Every little thing, his clothes, and like, see, his appearance now where he kind of like is being made fun of, like, she's part of the reason why his appearance was like that. He wasn't allowed to make those
So
decisions.
He wasn't even allowed to wear what he wanted.
Oh, yeah. She also micromanaged what he ate. What he ate and did while they were home together, was verbally abusive, calling him fat, and said he would never amount to anything.
Tragic backstory. Let him go.
When John Jr. was around, he would pick on Luke. With an absent father and brother, Luke was left to fend for himself against an abusive and emotionally needy mother. Although Woodham resented the situation, he mostly tried to please his mother when he was younger and silently protested against chores and meals only when he got older. So he kind of like, Mom, I don't want
to
do it.
So he started getting sick of her shit as he started
to reach
adolescence.
Well, he became a teenager.
Right.
Yeah, he became... Yeah.
So when he was a kid, he tried to actually please her, but then he realized, like, there's no point.
Yeah, there's no pleasing this bitch, dude. She's never going to be
happy. She's a fucking psycho.
As an awkward, overweight adolescent with few friends, Woodham's school experience were no better. Marianne insisted he wear thick glasses, unstylish clothing, and an outdated hairstyle. I mean, she basically controlled his entire image. Also humiliating for someone his age was his mother's daily ritual of driving him to school and making him kiss her on the cheek, actions that provoke jokes.
Well, of course.
Sounds like his mom wanted him to turn out to be a serial killer.
Yeah, give mommy
like,
a kiss.
Did she read a fucking book called, like... How to make sure your teenage son goes on a murder rampage?
How to alienate your teen?
I think she should be in jail with him. Not with him, but
you're about to find out why that's not possible.
Oh, okay.
In early 1997, Woodham began working at Domino's as a pizza delivery boy, where he was praised as a courteous employee destined for manager training. He also made
a friend. You're going to climb the Domino's ladder, kid.
So then, you're looking up. He made a friend, Donald Brooks, invited him to participate in a role-playing game. Group to which he belonged. Oh, shit.
I think Dungeons & Dragons made him do it.
The group of misfit teenagers, TJ, led by an older team named Grant Boyette, formed their own family and call themselves the Croth.
Is there pictures of the Croth? There's a pentagram. That's kind of cool.
I wasn't really able to find any good pictures of them.
Oh, damn. All right, we'll just stick with this one, I guess.
The boys were capable students who came across as good Christians.
Bullshit.
two important attributes in evangelical Pearl, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Boyette was especially considered devout, attractive, and charismatic, TJ. But he actually had a secret dual identity.
Cool.
When he was with his friends, he was an edgy teenager, basically. He was fixated on Hitler, Satan, and spell books.
Ooh, spells.
Uh-oh.
Dude, two of those are like straight out of the Edgelord handbook, dude.
I mean, all of them are.
I will cast a spell on you.
Which one are you accepting from that? Spell books?
Spell books, yeah.
I mean, I guess...
You don't see a lot of dudes that actually have spell books. I mean, come on.
You know, I had a satanic Bible.
You see a lot of Edgelords gravitating towards Hitler and Satan, for sure.
I mean, if you're going to get into Satan, you know, Satan's got some spells. You want to be able to summon demons and shit.
Maybe.
We saw that in, was it Flash Ride?
Yeah.
And they even have a kid's book now how to do it. Come on.
Ave Satanas! Ave Satanas!
So with Woodham, he casts spells on perceived enemies. I mean, who doesn't do that? Cast a spell on your enemy, it's fun. Come on,
I've
guys,
done it.
Try it.
I've done it.
Woodham believed that Boyette had special powers, and the pair formed a close relationship.
TJ's cat. You've never casted a spell on
Yes,
anybody.
I have.
You cast spells on people, you
I
dumb
do.
Motherfucker.
I do. I cast a spell here and there.
Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah, you cast a little spell.
Get out of here, TJ.
I made some voodoo dolls.
So teachers, neighbors, and fellow students were among those who may have seen indicators of the disturbed team.
No.
Woodham wrote several suspicious in-class essays, one stating that he would go on a killing spree if he could be a teacher for a day. So I actually have some excerpts of this writing.
If I were teacher for a day, yep. I'd kill everybody in school.
If yeah. I could spend a day as Miss Neal, I would be very, very nice to Luke Woodham and pass him for the year. Then I would knock the curd of the crud out of of the omniscient dork for putting junk on my computer. Then I would go crazy and kill all the other teachers. Then I would slowly and very painfully torture all the principals to death. Then I would withdraw all of my money in my bank and give it to Luke Woodham. Then I would get all of the other teachers and principals' bank account numbers and withdraw all the money and give it to Luke Woodham. Then I would do acid. And then I would get a gun and blow my brains out all over the doggone room and leave my house to Luke Woodham.
Oh. Wow.
Really? He was a true chameleon, dude. You never would have suspected anything was wrong.
Yeah,
nobody,
I mean, how...
Nobody saw this
one coming. By the way, these writings were never reported.
Of course not.
Nah, I mean, you just write a little essay.
So my student turned in an essay about how he would violently kill us all and steal all our
not
money.
Not him.
Well, not Miss Neal.
Miss Neal would do it.
Right, but, you know, right, I got you.
And then donate all the money to him.
Right.
And then, of course, get all the bank information. Like, that's a fucking lot of work, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, if I can go get all the faculty, damn, dude, it's just, I like the part about doing acid, though. I mean, that's kind of nice. Before she commits suicide, yeah, here's him, not in prison garb.
He looks like a fat Billy from Power Rangers. Remember the first fucking,
He's got
iteration?
The Billy mullet, yeah.
Yeah. He's got a very Billy-ish look. Billy was always the lamest Power Ranger, too, so.
So Luke had to break the August streak here. So on October 1st, TJ, 1997... Woodham's alarm clock went off at 5 a.m., and his violent plan began. He snuck down to the kitchen, got a butcher knife, retrieved a baseball bat from his room, and walked towards his mother's bedroom. He had planned to kill Marianne while she slept, but she was in the hallway about to go for a jog. The attack began there and ended in her bedroom, where Woodham forced his way in, stabbed and bludgeoned his mother repeatedly. He finally suffocated her with a pillow and cleaned up the scene and himself. So, yeah, the part about his mother, TJ, that's kind of why...
Yeah, I figured that out when you said that.
Yeah, she
I mean, I knew what you were inferring.
I know, so. But she won't be available, TJ.
Damn.
In taped interviews with police...
Tell me what to eat! Eat this, bitch!
and even later, yeah.
That's like, a reenactment for you.
It was violent.
TJ. Well, sorry. It was a violent act. In taped interviews with police, Woodham said that he had stopped caring about anything the night before the murders.
I mean, it sounds like he did care.
He lied in his confession.
It sounds like you care in the other direction. Like, fuck you, I'm getting vengeance on all of you.
So even though obviously he confessed to this, it's kind of interesting that...
He didn't tell the truth in the confession.
Yeah, he didn't tell the truth. So he lied in his confession saying that he had brought a butcher knife into his mother's bedroom, put the pillow over her head, and stabbed her to death. So it almost seemed like it was a peaceful way he killed her. Like, wasn't like...
So he confessed to killing her, but he made it a little bit less...
violent.
Violent.
Well, that was his ideal way. Like, he did want her
dead. That's what he wanted to do. So he just, when it didn't go that way, he just rewrote history and said, yeah, that's how it went.
Yeah, of course. And the court, he asserted also that demons spoke to him that morning and that he remembered getting a knife and pillow, but not the actual murder.
Okay.
He was controlled by a demon.
Yeah, dude, you know how these demons are. The fucking goddamn demons tell you, hey, you know what, brush your teeth.
messing around with all that Satanism, that's how you get a demon on you.
And that demon came in there and it rattled up his brain, scrambled him on up. Hey, yo, I'm a demon. I'm Astriel or whatever. Kill your mom and shit,
gotta
man.
Gotta kill my mama.
Oh, damn, better kill mama then, I guess. Reckon I ought to just go in there and stab that bitch till she dead. Azrael done told me to.
I had no choice. This case has even more wrinkles after this, though, TJ. So this is
wrinkles.
Yeah. Woodham then drove his mother's Toyota Tercel to Pearl High School, wearing a trench coat,
of course,
to conceal the rifle he was carrying. A lot of people think the Columbine shooter just started that.
Nope.
Gotta get
they get undue credit.
Yep. Woodham entered the school and fatally shot Lydia K. Dew and Christina Manefi, his former girlfriend, and then went on to wound.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
Girlfriend?
Hold up. Stop. Pause. This motherfucker, not only, it's like, they're trying to make me feel sorry for this dude, but like, he had few friends. Man, a lot of people I know didn't have no friends,
right.
First of all.
And no prospect of
and
a girlfriend.
This motherfucker had a girlfriend at one point.
It says former, TJ.
Yeah, but still, the fact that he ever had one. I mean, come on, man.
Probably,
this dude's
he
not.
He probably had it for a day, dude.
This dude ain't that bad off, man. This dude ain't that bad off. This dude's a fucking crybaby. Fry him.
Dude, so this is some
fry
shit.
Fry his ass.
So here's some shit that's right out of fucking conservative lore right here. The school's assistant principal, Joe Merrick, retrieved a .45 caliber semi-automatic pistol from his truck.
Yeah.
Spotting Woodham, attempted to flee the parking lot after the shooting and shouted for him to stop. Realizing what Woodham was doing, another student used his own vehicle to block Woodham's path. At which point, Woodham's attempt to get around the obstruction by driving his mother's car onto a grass verge and only ended up getting stuck in the grass. Seizing his
opportunity. It's a Tercel, dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
seizing his opportunity, Merrick ordered Woodham out of his car at gunpoint and detained him until police arrived at the scene. How do you stop a bad guy with a gun?
Good guy with a gun, boy.
That I got to be honest, that principal is pretty much a cowboy at this point.
Wop dop a lop bop a dop a da blue.
It's funny on the internet, though, he's credited with stopping the shooting. The shooting was pretty much already done at that point.
Yeah, he was just trying to escape.
He was trying to flee.
I mean, he probably would have killed some more people, though.
Oh, yeah. Like,
sounds like he was on a little spree.
Well, people claimed he was going to go to the junior high, which is right next to the high school, but he says it was never part of his plan.
What was next in his plan? Did he say that?
No, not really.
Okay.
I don't think he really thought, I don't think it was well thought out, TJ. He was just like, I'm going to go here and
it
make
sounds pretty well planned. I don't know.
Minutes before he started shooting, Woodham had given the following message to his friend Justin Sledge. So this is something he handed to the guy.
All right, so this is his final, what he thinks might be his final words anyway.
I am not insane. I am angry. I killed people. I killed because people like me are mistreated every day. I did this to show society. Push us, and we will push back. All throughout my life, I was ridiculed, always beaten, always hated. Can you, society, truly blame me for what I do? Yes, you will. It was not a cry for attention. It was not a cry for help. It was a scream in sheer agony saying that if you can't pry your eyes open, if I can't do it through pacifism, if I can't show you through the display of intelligence, then I will do it with a bullet.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, shit, dude.
I mean, he's got similar motives there, for sure.
I'm going to show society not to mistreat me, motherfuckers.
During the subsequent investigation, Woodham's journal was examined by police, and in it, he detailed how he and a friend had tortured his dog, Sparkle, to death several months prior to the shooting.
Awesome.
So, is there anything you
should... Why am I more mad about that than anything else?
I know, what a piece of shit.
I mean, like, okay, you want to go shoot your classmates... I'm not going to endorse that, obviously, but, I mean, I think we can all kind of understand where you're coming from
Becky
on that shit.
Becky and Rachel were bitches anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you know, I'm not saying they deserve to die, but humans are scum. But a fucking dog, I mean, come on. A dog is sweet. A dog doesn't deserve that bullshit. Leave the goddamn dog alone.
Nope.
Oh, you're going to hate him even more. This is part of his journal.
Ugh.
I will never forget how the howl she made.
I don't want to hear
it
this.
It sounded almost human. We laughed and hit her hard.
Ugh.
And unfortunately, yeah, like...
Fry him.
Yep. I won't go too much into the details, but what happens with the dog is that they see the dog, they beat the dog almost to death, they're kind of like, oh, let it do it. Then they take the dog, beat it some more, throw it in a sack, light it on fire.
Who's this other person?
Grant.
Grant? Is Grant fucking in jail? Probably not, right?
So...
Oh, that's that Grant boy. Yeah, that's the motherfucker that was part of the little faggot club.
So, teen accused of leading demonic cults. This is actually an LA Times article from that time period. This is from 1997.
Oh, you got the article.
Yep. So, this is a big thing. You know, obviously, we'll remember the episode on the Satanic Panic. So, this is kind of playing into that, too.
Right.
So, this is in Brandon, Mississippi. A teenager who led a secret satanic cult that sought the obliteration of its enemies plotted a killing spree at a high school with a follower charged in the slaying of his mother and two students, an investigator said Tuesday. So, of course, Grant Boyette, 18, sat hunched over a courtroom desk as prosecutors offered the first glimpse of evidence in Boyette's murder conspiracy case. So this is basically the preliminary, you know, hearing.
I mean, from the story you just told us, it doesn't sound like Grant Boyette had shit to do with the spree, though.
It doesn't really seem like, so let's go to the next one. So this is basically just the headline of the time. So it's basically just also accounting of the testimony of the Satanism involved in this.
Right.
So Ludum took the stand against his defense lawyer's advice. I'm trying to find the part here. Keep going down.
Okay.
Okay, so here's this. He said he became a believer after he and Boyette cast a spell and a teenager they knew was run over by a car and killed the next day.
Satan showing off his power, doing a little flex.
One second, I was some kind of heartbroken idiot, and the next second, I had power over many things. My mind didn't know how to take it. So basically, he's...
Dude, okay, wait, hold on. You know, if you have the power to kill people with Satan spells and shit, why are you fucking around with this killing spree shit?
Because it's a bullshit way to try and...
But they already said it worked once, so fucking do it again. Keep it going.
Yeah, basically, if you want to know what the real deal is that this is a Christian town.
Devil made me do it.
Yeah, and it's like...
It were the devil.
What's an easy way to fucking say that I'm not culpable? Oh, wait.
It was the devil.
Yeah, the devil told me to do these things.
The devil made me do it, boy.
Willem acknowledged that parts of his testimony might seem strange. You can send demons to go and do things. I've seen them. I know what I was dealing with. I felt like I had complete control, complete power over things. I know it's real in spite of what people think. And of course, he was used, you know, a psychologist actually initially did say that he was insane, though.
Yeah. I'm sure that didn't fly, though.
Nah, ultimately didn't work.
Even in Mississippi, people were like, yeah, he probably was demon-possessed, but still fucking fry that little son of a bitch.
Let's move on to the next article, please, TJ.
All right. Conspiracy charges are dropped. So this is basically when they realized Grant Boyette didn't have shit to do with anything.
Well, actually, there was actually five other teenagers.
Right.
Basically, the club. That's why they...
The little club.
The little demon club. So a judge today...
The little edgelord demon club.
Let's see. The only one that actually got anything besides Luke was Grant. I think Grant got like 6 months in a halfway house or something.
I mean,
he didn't really get any fucking serious jail time.
Yeah. What's this?
And this is him actually being found guilty.
Blah, blah, blah. So, sentenced to life in prison for stabbing
Luke
his mother.
17, yeah, was, yep.
And beating her with an aluminum baseball bat.
I like this shit. I'm going to heaven now, said a handcuffed and shackled Woodham as he was led from the courthouse to patrol car. Everything happens for a reason. It's God's will. Oh, by the way,
changing teams.
Yeah, during the trial, guess who found Jesus?
Found Jesus.
Wow.
Jesus.
I mean, look, it's just, you can tell what the defense's idea was. You did this. Oh, you were involved in this weird club. We'll play that club up like it's a satanic fucking club. And then you find Jesus during the trial, and you're just going to hope these people are good. Well, he found Jesus.
I'm actually kind of shocked it didn't work in Mississippi. Surprised the jury wasn't just like, well, you know.
Their need to punish is just too strong, though.
Yeah. It overrides.
So even though they kind of believe in all the shit he's talking about, like, yeah, demons, yeah, Jesus. They're still like, yeah, I just can't show mercy. It's just wrong. I gotta punish.
Gotta fucking do it. You gotta punish them people.
Under the state law, Woodham won't be eligible for parole until he's 65.
Oh, no. And actually, I found he's actually not that far from us, dude.
Cool.
You can go fucking chill with Luke if you like.
Yeah, I'm going to go pay him a visit. I'm going to fucking punch him in the face and be like, this is for sparkles, bitch.
Yeah, stupid fucker. Beating on a dog.
What's this? Is this him now? Or is this Seth Rogen?
Here's Luke now.
It just looks like your standard neck beard.
I mean, definitely, like, full-blown. I guess it's
looks like someone that would come to one of our meetups.
Maybe it's hard in prison to get trimmed up, you know what I mean?
Could be.
He's a hairy motherfucker overall.
Yeah, you can see the hair on his shoulders and
it's
shit,
like,
too.
There's barely a break in the hair. It's just, like, just continuous.
Not a bad-looking dude, though. He's not, like, hideously, freakishly ugly or anything.
I mean, and this kind of gets into, like, you know, and this is something serial killers have definitely done, too. Like, with the whole aspect of the mother, you know, like, Ed Kemper was the dude that was, like...
Oh, that dude hated his mom.
Like, yeah, but that was his final victim, too. Was that someone, like...
This dude at least started with his mom. That other guy, Ed Kemper, fucking... He kept killing sorority girls until he finally worked up the balls to kill his mom.
But this is one of those cases where, he snaps and kills his mom. And of course, you know, they blame role-playing games. Like,
I hate this snap shit. I mean, has anyone ever, normal, sane, well-adjusted person, ever just fucking literally snapped and murdered a bunch of people?
Maybe not a bunch of people, but I know a lot of fucking, like...
Maybe snap.
In the moment, revenge murders
like,
happen.
Dude walks into his room and sees his wife fucking another man and kills them both or something.
Yeah, he snapped.
Oh, my God, I can't believe this. I'm so fucking blind with rage.
He at least moved to a point where he no longer cared about committing the act. You know, there was nothing to prevent him from murdering his mother at that point.
I mean, his mom, it sounds like she really had a hand in the creation of this motherfucker.
Oh, for certain.
I mean, when you're controlling what you're fucking... What, I mean, like, as a teenager, still controlling, like, his food to the point... I mean, like, I understand your mom makes you food. But to, like, control, like, what someone fucking eats. Sorry.
You okay over there?
No. You all right, TJ? Hallelujah, TJ, hallelujah.
Pardon me while I just fucking die over here.
But I mean, it's such an old fucking story, you know, at this point, though, is that, you know, your parents are too controlling, you know, your parents are assholes, but most people don't end up murdering their parents.
Dude, I remember, I mean, I knew fucking kids when I was a fucking teenager, like friends of mine who went to school with me or fucking were in my social circle. I remember this dude, you know this dude too, Scott. I mean, you can actually tell me who it is because I don't even remember who the fuck it was. But it was a dude who, he said that like he worked like a job and shit, but his dad just took like every fucking dime of the money and he just like had to live in the basement and shit. It was like some fucking like Harry Potter-esque kind of shit. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Was it around here?
Yeah, it was one of your old friend Matt's friends.
Oh, God. I'm trying to fucking think, dude.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it was just, you know, it's just like, you know, some of these parents are just assholes and they're overly controlling and bullshit. And I mean, like, I'm glad that that I had pretty cool parents for the most part.
Well, yeah. I mean, you end up, I mean, this is one of the possibilities.
Because I can see myself fucking, quote unquote, snapping. If there was someone that was trying to control my life to that extent into my fucking teenage years.
Yeah.
It's fucking
I didn't really know anybody totally that insane. Had like a totally crazy abusive mom, but I knew a lot of dudes that had like dads that were mean drunks.
Yeah.
And none of them snapped and killed anybody as far as I know.
I mean, most people don't. Like, even if you fucking look at like these cases and stuff, and like I know that because they... Like, the younger you are when you commit a crime, the more people actually care why.
Sure.
I don't know. It's like people have an extra special interest in the motive at that point, which I feel like that interest in the motive should always be present, but whatever.
Well, because, like, you know, a lot of the cases of adults, you know, when someone gets murdered, like that's what I kind of talked about in the beginning of the episode, their motivations are usually simpler to understand. Like, you know, hey, you have a life insurance policy. I stand to gain a lot of money. And people kind of understand that as a motive. You know, when someone like him, his whole life was ahead of him. Like, he was just, like, he was in the shitty, like, grind out, almost done with high school phase of his life where things totally changed and he could have left Pearl, Mississippi and fucking, you know, had freedom and autonomy from his mother.
I mean, there's just not a lot of opportunity for a kid in a situation like that. Economically depressed area. Yeah. I mean, he was just smart enough to see that, like...
Yeah, this is it.
This is, you know...
Yeah, that's true.
I'm trapped in this fucking dead-end town. My mom controls every aspect of my life. The only person that fucking kind of takes me in is this charismatic fucking psychopath that, you know, that wants to we torture dogs and shit together. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's not the happiest fucking story of the human condition or whatever the fuck. I mean, but I think all the motives here are pretty fucking cut and dry. I mean, at least if you're going to do like a very surface level reading of them. The first kid, Eric, whatever his
Eric
name
Smith.
Was, Eric Smith, just an ugly fucking outcast kid with some emotional problems, well, potentially brought on by this fucking drug his mother was on.
One of the things that he said was that he felt like he was in control and like he had power.
Right.
You know, so him was like a power.
Probably
dynamic.
Felt powerless in most situations. It's just an extreme example of like, you know, someone who's being bullying someone else, but he just took it to like this crazy extreme because he has these fucking emotional issues or whatever the fuck. The Menendez brothers, just fucking greedy and spoiled.
Yeah, never heard the word no.
Never heard the word. Maybe they did hear it.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe they heard it for the first time and they were like, no, we ain't putting up with that. And just wanted their parents' money, wanted the freedom it represented.
Clearly divorced from reality, though.
And yeah, totally living in like
a bubble.
We joke about the affluenza thing, but I mean, there is something of a fucking like. Oh, I'm seeing the world through rich kid goggles, you know?
Oh, for sure.
And it's not a fucking accurate reality. And then this dude, I mean, like, just trapped in a dead-end town, controlling mother, absent father, absent brother. When they do come around, they're bullies to him. And he just lashes out the fucking entire fucking community, basically. It sounds like he kind of has, like, a very incel-y motive as well.
I mean, goes into a...
He kills all girls.
Yeah, kills his mom,
specifically targets probably, hey, that's the bitch that rejected me. Oh, that's the bitch that dumped me.
This is the bitch that controlled me. Yeah.
You know, so he's just, like, blaming all his problems on women, deciding that that's, you know, he fucking sees no future for himself. The best prospect he's got going is he might fucking climb the corporate ladder at fucking Domino's.
Yeah.
You're going to be the assistant operator of the pepperoni pooper one day, son.
Wow.
It's like, not today.
It's like, no, I think I'm just going to kill a bunch of people and go to prison.
It takes a smart cookie to run that pepperoni pooper. You got to make sure it only poops out so many pepperonis. That's a lot of responsibility, but I think you might be somebody that down the line could handle it.
Mm.
Sounds like a life.
It's just interesting how this happened, you know, shortly before Columbine happened. I mean, not too long. I think it was 1999.
If it had happened after, this would have been a huge story nationally.
Oh, yeah. But it just showed you, like, how, like, the media was just, like, the attention, like, and these things were just starting to kind of, like, you know, come about. Like, the trench coat thing, like, who knows if that influenced the other killers. It very well, you know, this was a big story at the time, as, like, you saw, like, national.
Trench coats have always just been an edgelord staple, too, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, even if you go back to, like, the noir films of, like, the 20s with the hard, grizzled detective wearing the trench coat, it was always chosen because it just looks like the uniform of edge.
Well, also, it conceals a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you could hide.
Nazis wore a lot of trench coats.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, villains just wear trench coats.
They do.
Yeah, it's just, it's the fucking official outfit.
Let me just ask you this. Let's say you're in a Taco Bell or some shit, and some dude comes in wearing a fucking trench coat, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to look at him like, who the fuck is
this? You'd be looking at that guy. You'd be like, dude, be side-eyeing that motherfucker. Like,
back in
the
fucking Old West, it was the people were given that same side-eye, dude. A dude in a trench coat walked into the saloon. You're watching that motherfucker.
Fuck yeah.
A trench coat
fucking says, for some reason, and who knows the fuck why, but somehow it just says, like, you know, I'm trouble, or I'm trying to look like I'm trouble. Because a lot of fucking trench coat wearers are just dorks that are like,
right,
I look fucking badass when I put on the trench coat.
Yeah.
And you can spot them immediately. Like, you look at someone and you can tell whether they deserve that trench coat or not.
I'm telling you, dude, the trench coat, because you look at a lot of Nazis, dude, stripped down or whatever. They look like just weak little dorks, but...
They put on that trench coat. It's
they
like,
had on
uh-oh.
that SS trench coat. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, clothes maketh the fucking man or whatever. Well, it's manners from the movie, but I'm going to say clothes. Anyway.
Yep. That is young killers.
That's young killers. That's people who murder at a young age. Get into the whole murder biz early on. Get a head start on it. You know, most of us don't fucking do our first murder until we're in our, like, you know, mid-40s, you know, early 50s.
Got a lot of experience.
I've done everything else in life. Yeah. You know, like, Paul, you feel that sense of ennui and boredom in life, right?
Well, yeah.
And then
I don't feel a murder rising up.
Well, no, you don't feel it yet. But, I mean, eventually you're going to kind of come to the conclusion, like Phil from Groundhog Day eventually would have, and that was never shown in that movie, which is a shame, that the only thing interesting left for me to do with my life is to
murder.
See what it's like to murder somebody.
Got it.
Like,
I think you might be narrating your own future there, TJ. I don't want to hurt nobody.
I think you will, Paul.
I'm a pacifist.
I think you will.
I wouldn't hurt Paul, a fly.
The great thing about this episode is that if either of us murder somebody, this episode will be looked back on like, wow, he fucking, Paul obviously lied about the murderous rage building inside of him.
I do want to kind of want, I want to get a trench coat though, for sure.
All right, Paul, let me look in your eyes. Let's see if we can see the murder in Paul's eyes.
Oh, I totally see it, dude.
Absolutely, it's there. You can't deny it. You couldn't make those eyes look soft. Try your hardest. Try your hardest to make your eyes look soft, Paul.
Okay. Dude. Where will Paul's killing spree happen?
Paul's gonna kill some people, dude. There's no, you can't.
Oh, you
know what you guys are talking about.
Let's be honest, dude. Paul's gonna shoot up a movie theater.
You can't convince me otherwise.
What you guys are talking
about? It's gonna be a movie theater.
He's gonna
man.
Shoot up like Transformers fucking 8 or some shit. Enough! I will punish you for your stupidity.
Yeah. Well, I don't plan on it now, but I guess we'll see.
He's gonna blow up a Star Wars shooting.
Yeah. See how you feel. Yeah. See how you feel. The next
they're
gonna
announce the next saga, and he's gonna be so sour about it by then. He's just gonna be like, you know what? Fuck this. And he's going to be like,
bring a thermal detonator with me.
Yeah. Like, a la Star Wars!
These movies now suck. I have a thermal detonator.
Dead. All dead.
Everyone's dead.
Anyway, that's the episode, right?
Yep. That's it.
That's it?
That's all.
Are we done?
That's it.
That's all,
Finn?
Folks.
That's it.
Finn?
That's it.
Finn. Finn.